test is in four parts, part 1, part 2, part 3, and part 4. Now look at part 1.
Part 1.
You will hear an agent calling from Farrelly Mutual about the recent homeowner's insurance inquiry. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 6. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 6.
Hello.
Yes, I'd like to speak with Janet Evans, please.
Speaking.
Hi, Miss Evans. This is Jim Rodriguez, calling from Farrelly Mutual about your recent homeowner's insurance inquiry.
Yes, hi. Thanks for returning my call.
My pleasure. I understand you are potentially interested in insurance for a bungalow located a bit out of town. Could you give me the address?
Sure. It's 49 Greenway Court. Greenway is one word.
Thank you. All right. And would you prefer to be contacted via email or phone?
Either one is fine. Maybe try emailing me first, and as an alternative, I can give you my phone number.
Great. And what is your email address?
pk2@cat.com.
Did you say cat as in the animal?
Yes, it is the acronym for the construction company I work for. I'm sure you've seen them around.
Yes, I have. And could you give me your primary phone number and the best time to reach you?
Sure. The number is 020-4251-9443. I am generally unable to answer my phone at work, but any time after 5:30 p.m. is fine.
I will make a note of that here. Now, I'm going to ask you a little bit about the property itself, so we can make an accurate estimate of the cost of insuring your home. Could you tell me the size of your house?
Well, I don't have the exact measurements, but I'm pretty sure it's right around 80 square meters. Should I measure it and call you back later?
No, that's completely all right. I'll write 80 square meters for now to get the estimate, and then an agent will come get the exact measurements later on if you decide to purchase our insurance.
Okay, great.
And what material is your house made of? For example, wood, brick, stucco?
It's mainly brick.
Great. That will give you a lower rate than most of the materials, since it is so strong.
Wonderful.
And do you have any sort of home security, Miss Evans?
We don't have a fence or anything yet, but we have an alarm system that we use regularly.
Good.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 7 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 7 to 10.
Now I'll go through a number of things we offer coverage for, and I'd like you to tell me which items you want your policy to cover.
Okay.
We'll start with the building itself first. Would you like us to cover incidental damage to the structure to your house?
Absolutely.
Splendid. And the contents inside your house? We usually cover all items with an appraised value of about £200. Would you like us to cover theft and damage beyond natural wear and tear? I will let you know that the second option here will come with a considerable increase in your rates.
I think I'd just like the contents of the house to be covered against theft then.
All right, and would you like any other insurance? Fire, flood, etc.?
Yes, I definitely want flood coverage. It rains a lot here and the drainage system in the area is not the greatest.
Okay. I am calculating your quotation now. It will just take a second. It looks like your annual insurance rate will be £148.30.
Thanks. That seems somewhat reasonable. I would like to take some time to think about it. How long does it take to begin receiving coverage after signing up?
It depends on the time of year. It can take anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks. I would say if you sign up by July the 1st, you could start your coverage by August the 1st.
I see. OK, thanks for your help. Should I call you back at this number when I have made my decision?
Yes, please. And so that we can look up your account faster, I'll give you a reference number that you should provide when calling. Ready?
Yep.
It's TR278Q.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you, and have a nice day.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two.
You will hear an address by the college president welcoming new students to a residential college. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 14. Now listen carefully to the first part of the talk and answer questions 11 to 14.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here. Welcome to Smith House. Smith House, as you may or may not know, is one of the oldest residential colleges of the university. As you can see, the building you're in now, which contains this main lounge, the dining room, the recreation room, the kitchen and the offices, was part of the original old house built in the 1840s to be used by the family of George Smith. That's, of course, how the house and college got their names. The original house was converted into a residential college for the university in 1940 and since then has continued to be added on to and modernised. You'll notice when you receive your room allocation in a few minutes that your room number either begins with the letter N, S or W, like this one here. The first letter refers to the three wings of the college, which come away from this main building. Of course, the letters represent the three directions, in this case, north, south and west. Each wing has two floors, and so the next number you see is either one or in this case two, and this indicates which floor your room is on. The number after that is your individual room number. So it's quite simple to find any room by going to the right wing, then floor, and then room number.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 15 to 20. Now listen carefully and answer questions 15 to 20.
You'll also notice, when you receive your orientation pack shortly, that there are two keys. One is the key to your room, and only you have that key, and the other is a key to the front door, which you've just come through here from the street. This door is closed and locked at 8 p.m. every night, and opened again at 7 a.m. You'll need your key if you're coming back to the college between those times. We ask all students to always enter and leave the college through the front door. You'll notice at the end of each corridor that there is another door, but these are fire doors and are kept locked from the outside. They should only be opened from the inside in case of emergency. In your fees, you've paid a laundry fee, which covers the cleaning of bed linen and towels. All bed linen and towels are clearly embossed with the name Smith House, so it's easily identifiable. If you want your other laundry to be done by the college, this can be arranged for a small extra fee. There are only a few rules here at Smith House, and we have these rules so that we can all live comfortably together. The most important rule is that there must be no noise after 9 p.m. There is also no smoking in the rooms or anywhere inside the college, but smoking is permitted on the balconies. All meals are served in the dining room. Meal times are listed in your orientation pack. Please read these carefully, as meal times cannot be changed, and if you arrive late, I'm sorry to say, you'll just go hungry. If you're unsure about things, each floor has an elected floor senior, who is usually a student in their third or fourth year of study, who's been at Smith House for a while. The floor seniors will introduce themselves later today and answer any questions you have. But for now, I'm going to hand you over to Marnie, who is going to give you the orientation packs and keys. Thanks, Marnie.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part three.
Part three.
You will hear a conversation between an academic advisor and a student asking for information about a particular subject that she wants to study. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 26. Listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 26. Come in and take a seat.
Thank you.
Now, you've made an appointment to see me with regard to one of the papers you want to enrol next semester.
Yes, that's right. It's the Globalisation and Educational Change paper, GEC 692.
Ah, well, I know the one you mean. But all the code numbers are going to change next semester, so although the course name will stay the same, the code will be ED995. Not that you have to worry about that.
But the content will be the same, right?
Oh, yes, to a large extent. The objectives are still to provide you with the skills and knowledge for analysing the challenges that globalisation poses for education.
Yes, that's what I'm really interested in. The future of education, not where we are now, but where we're heading.
Well, you'll most likely enjoy the course because it'll give you the opportunity not just to explore, but also to document the advancement of new educational developments.
And there'll be quite a lot of analysis involved.
Yes, obviously. But once you've examined how education has been affected by cultural values and socio-economic structures, you'll go on to debate the pros and cons of the restructuring of public education in view of rapid globalisation.
I see, but when you say public education, do you mean worldwide?
No, no. That would be far too large an undertaking for just one paper. You'd probably choose to work with the education system within your own state or country.
Sounds interesting, but isn't it a bit restrictive?
Not at all. From there, you'd move on to explore the impact of internationalisation on curriculum diversity in both developing and developed countries. Have you had a chance to look at the assessment criteria yet?
Actually, I have. And it makes me a bit nervous just thinking about it.
Why is that?
Well, I see that the first assignment starts with an illustrated PowerPoint presentation to the rest of the class. I've never done one before.
No need to worry. You can get help with that. Anyway, this presentation isn't graded. It's what we call a formative assessment. The feedback you get will help you to finalise the written review.
That's a review of those academic articles in the first part of the reading list, right?
Yes, but you only have to choose 5 of them. That first assignment is worth 30%.
And the second assignment?
There are 2 parts to that also, and both are graded. 20 marks will go towards your participation in a seminar, and then there's a 5,000-word essay, which will be graded out of 50.
Thanks.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 27 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 27 to 30. Is there anything else I can help you with?
Yes, the reading list is quite long. Where do you think I should start?
Well, I'd suggest you leave the articles until the semester is underway, but a good preparation would be to look at some of the major texts. These ones here.
In any particular order?
You could start with this one by Tower, here at the bottom of the page.
Sorry, who?
Tower. T-O-W-E-R. 2007. Comparative Education. That should give you a good basis. Then move on to Eliot. Educational Issues of the New Millennium. But be sure to get the 2008 edition, not the original 1998 edition, because so much has changed since 1998. The new edition has extensive revisions and a lot of new material.
OK, so that's Tower first, then Eliot. I think I could handle a couple more over the summer break.
Well, in that case, look for Brown's Education and Globalisation, published in 2009. Actually, there are quite a few books by Brown, but I'd start with that one and leave his others till much later. And I'd also really recommend this one here, Globalisation and Knowledge Policy by York, published quite recently, in fact, 2010.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part 4.
Part 4.
You'll hear a talk on the subject of green buildings and skyscrapers. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40. Good morning, everyone. Today I'm here to talk about the construction of green buildings. Given the current state of the global environment, new types of architecture, design and construction techniques are absolutely necessary. My brief lecture today will cover two topics: what qualifies a building to receive a green certification, and also how widespread such sustainable buildings currently are. There is a growing demand for so-called green buildings. Government agencies and corporations around the world understand that sustainable workplaces are quite cost-effective in the long run. Though initial outlays for construction are usually more expensive, the savings in maintenance and energy costs make up for it. Here at the Ministry of Environmental Stewardship, we have created a detailed set of requirements that a building must pass in order to be certified as green. For buildings that have already been constructed, we offer two levels of certification, bronze and silver, depending on the number of guidelines implemented. These include reducing or recycling waste products, as well as installing efficient heating and cooling systems. For a gold certification, a building must have had sustainable and environmentally friendly practices from the beginning of its construction. Measures such as using local materials, wood grown from well-managed forests, or reducing the use of toxic chemicals all contribute toward this prestigious distinction. It's pleasing to see how mainstream going green is now. Here at the Ministry, however, we know and understand that this cannot be just some passing fad. We created these guidelines so that institutions could not merely greenwash their buildings, claiming that they are environmentally friendly, when in fact they aren't. I would now like to talk about some buildings that have received these special certifications. In the 60s, there was a great number of public housing projects built. Over the years, many of them have fallen into gross disrepair. As part of an urban revitalization project, construction companies have consulted with ministry experts to make those council estates a greener and healthier place to live. At Cabrini Fields, lead pipes and lead paint were removed, improving the health of children living there. A system of rooftop and community gardens also helped residents to support themselves. It was one of the first buildings we awarded a bronze certification to. One building with a silver certification is the Mylop Jewett Tower, built over a century ago and located in the downtown area. The insides of the building were completely scooped out, allowing the construction company to implement innovative new ways of saving energy. The utility bill of the entire building is now 40% down, only 60% of its previous level, despite rising energy costs. Lastly, I would like to talk about the latest building to receive a gold certification from the Ministry. Arcadia Arbors is a really great example of green engineering and construction. From the very beginning, the project heads made a really unique plan and held to it. Many of the Ministry's guidelines were followed, and we even got ideas for other ways to make buildings sustainable. The centerpiece of this skyscraper is a multi-story hanging garden that serves both an aesthetic and practical purpose.
That is the end of part 4.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.